Since we are talking about prayer tonight, we need to leave time for that, right? In fact, we're going to be spending the next several weeks talking about prayer. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we're going to be talking about how do we get God's attention. Wouldn't you like to do that? To know you're getting God's attention. And would you agree with this statement? What the church and the world needs is more prayers, more prayer warriors. Would you agree with that? Yeah, I think so. I think so. And that's a question that I feel comfortable asking you because you're here for prayer meeting. Okay, so I know you're most likely going to agree with that. We need more people who will devote themselves to prayer. Not just pray for their cornflakes in the morning, but devote themselves to prayer. The story is told, and maybe you've heard this, about two lumberjacks. There's an older one and a younger one. And both of them are known for their speed in cutting down trees. So the younger one challenged the older one day to a contest to see who could cut down the most trees. And the contest began. The younger one, with his youthfulness and his strength, I mean, he just began in earnest chopping down one tree after another without stopping. And he soon noticed, though, that the older man chopped down trees for 1 hour, and then he took a 15-minute break. And this went on all day long. At the end of the day, when all of the trees that had been cut down were counted, the older lumberjack had cut down more trees. Now, the younger one was puzzled, and he asked the older one, "How could you, taking a break every single hour, cut down more trees than what I did?" The older lumberjack responded with this, "Because when I stopped, I sharpened my axe." Now, the younger one, he worked hard. All day long, he was swinging and swinging and swinging, but he never took time to sharpen his axe. He's busy, but he's just not getting much accomplished. Now, a lot of Christians are like that. We spend our time chopping away at the Lord's work, but never accomplishing much, and all the time we're simply using a dull axe. If we don't take time to pray, we can never expect God to bless the work that we do. That's the one ingredient that makes all the difference. Chocolate chip cookies, you love them, right? Make a batch and leave the salt out. And it's just a little bit of salt, but it makes all the difference. Now, the truth is, it is so much easier to get Christians to do almost anything than it is to get them to pray. What a shame. What a shame that is. They don't want to talk to their Heavenly Father who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for them. And they don't want to talk to Him. For it is prayer that brings us into His presence. Consider this verse, Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We can actually approach God, be in His presence, so to speak, and have a conversation with Him. Right into the presence of God. It is God who answers prayer that changes circumstances and touches lives. It is God who changes hearts. It's prayer that marks a difference, I think, between mediocrity and greatness in the Christian life. In this Luke passage, the disciples, they wanted to learn more about prayer. And Christ taught them some lessons. So let's look at some of those lessons tonight. Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." All right, so let's just consider that first verse. And first I want to look at, and I think it's already in your notes, a proper motive. Proper prayer is properly motivated. Okay, James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Before we see that verse, many of us are familiar with some of these, what do I call them, Christian phrases. Okay, you have not because you ask not. Or if you pray, believing, God will answer your prayers, or something like that. Well, sometimes they don't get answered, right? Whoa, you got to redo all the decorations in your house now if those things are on your wall. Consider this verse. It says in James 4, verse 2, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill, desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not." Now, hold on a second. There's God saying all we got to do is ask and we'll have it. But let's look at the next verse. "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." Now, I think the key to understanding that verse is the last part. We ask amiss. What's amiss about our asking? We're asking to consume it upon our lust. In other words, it's what we want. Lust, another word, is desire. We have desires. And we ask and receive not because we're asking just for what we want. We might even call that selfish praying. It's everything that I want, okay? What did Jesus pray in the garden? "Not my will, but thine be done." Yeah, he did ask, you know, "God, if it's possible for this whole cross thing to not happen, but not my will, I just want yours." Do we have that attitude when we pray? Well, before you say yes, okay, because that would be the right answer. When we pray, we ask like Jesus did, okay? And if we don't get what we want, what's our response? Is it joyfulness? Or is it, "Oh, man. Jesus, was not my desire, but yours." Think about this. The disciples, they had just witnessed Jesus praying. It tells us that in verse 1. They had also noticed the closeness that he had with the Father when he prayed. They saw the miracles that he performed after prayer. They saw the glory that it brought to God, and they wanted the same power in their lives. They recognized that something was missing, and they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They asked Jesus to change them. We want to be different about this. The proper motive for praying is not to get our will done in heaven, but to get God's wills done on earth. That should be our motive. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do," I'm going to add, "or pray, do all to the glory of God." So would you agree with this? Too often we spend our time on prayer seeking a change in our circumstances. Just, I'll say it generically like that. Our prayers mostly consist of, "change my circumstances." Well, if you keep a prayer list, look at it. Record yourself praying sometime and then go back and listen to it and see how much of your time is spent. "Daddy, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this." Now, we don't say it that way. You know, we flower it up with nice Christian words. "I want this, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want." Maybe we need a change in character, like the disciples asking Jesus to teach them How much time do we spend asking God to change us in our prayers? How much time do we spend asking him to teach us? So let's talk about now a proper method. Luke chapter 11, verse 2. Let's continue reading. And he said unto them, when ye pray, Jesus is now beginning his teaching. He said, say this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's that famous Lord's Prayer, right? I was with somebody one time, and it was actually on what they thought was their deathbed, okay? And they had a Catholic friend of theirs as well in the room with them. And because I'm a member of the clergy, I guess there's more power when a member of the clergy says the Lord's Prayer. So they wanted me to recite the Lord's Prayer with them, all me and these other two individuals. Like there was some magic in saying those specific words, okay? There's no magic in the words. Jesus wasn't instructing us to recite this every day of our lives. There's elements in here. And Jesus mentioned several methods of proper praying in here. It's a model. It's kind of like a skeleton, which we can build on in our prayer. Notice these elements. The first one is the direction. The direction of this prayer is where? Who picked it out? God, yes. It's upward, and it's to God, by the way. Now, I didn't ask this lady's Catholic friend that was there at the time about this, but they pray to more than just God. You know, they pray to Mary and other saints. And Jesus said the direction should be to God, who he is and what he can do. It's listed there for us in that first verse. Second element is this. There needs to be praise and thanksgiving. Look at these verses, Ephesians 5:20, it'll be on the screen. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Well, no, I'm not going to do this. Go down our prayer list for tonight and put your name in these places here for people we're praying for. Would you be praying, God, thank you for letting me have this problem right now? Ooh. Thank you for allowing me to go through this. But Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always for all things. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I think many times we would rewrite Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. We would just drop the thanksgiving part. But as we are letting our requests and thanksgivings being, or supplications being known, being made known to God, we need to be thanking him for them. Who are we giving thanks to? God. Yeah. And we're not just being thankful. We are telling God, thank you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. That would be a prayer right there. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and just thank Jesus. And then say amen. Whoa, and not ask for anything? I kind of threw that out to the choir Sunday night. We were just giving some praises and that. And I said, you know what? Is it wrong to pray and not ask for something? Just praise. Just a prayer of praise, so to speak. How much of our prayers includes just thanking him? Again, if you've recorded your prayer, okay, and you go back and listen to it, how much of the 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes that you spent in praying, how much of that was actually spent just thanking God? That is worship. Okay? Asking God for stuff, it's not worshiping God, it's us asking for stuff. But just spending time thanking God, now you're worshiping. Here's number three, concern for God's kingdom. Now, as we look at those verses that we read, it talks about thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And an element of prayer is concern for God's kingdom. That would be his church, his saints, and the lost. Praying for his church, the body of believers. And the Bible tells us, as the days roll on, things will continue to get worse and worse. And we need to be praying for individual saints. But we also need to pray for the lost. Now, how does that fit into his kingdom? Anyone want to venture a guess? Thank you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants them in his kingdom. We need to be praying in matters concerning his kingdom. Again, look at our prayer list. How many people are on that list that we're praying will come to Christ? And how many of those people on our prayer list are we saying, God, use me to bring them to Christ? Make me a part of that. Number four, pray for God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Here's a question for us. Whose will do you really want? This Sunday, we're going to be recognizing the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And we're going to be showing a video of a family that I was their pastor in Georgetown. And it's a video of the birth and 2.5 hours they had with their baby boy before he died there in the hospital. They really, really, really wanted that baby, of course. But they should never even have had that baby because of the chromosome disorder. Most of them are never even born. None of them, most never make it to be birthed. And they were actually praying, God, just let him be born. Let us love him before you take him. And God gave him 2.5 hours with that baby boy. Whose will do we really want? That was God's will. So when we pray, we need to pray for God's will. Just as Jesus said, not my will, but thine. Number five. Now we come to our requests. Now, I'm just thinking if we went ahead and started, like, practicing, okay? Let's just do a dry run of this model prayer with the first four elements. We'd already be a good 5 minutes into a prayer, right? At least. Maybe 10 minutes. Depends on how much you start thanking Jesus. And we haven't asked for a single thing yet. Now we come to our request. Okay, if we prayed in faith, we just might be surprised at what God is going to do. Now think about this, okay? And I don't know anything about your past prayers or prayers that weren't answered or anything like that. And so I can't judge them. Only God can. But if we pray in faith, God answers. We just might be surprised if we really do pray in faith. Do you remember the church that was gathered when Peter was in prison? They were praying and praying and praying. They must have had some faith, but they still had some doubt, because when they heard he was out of jail, they didn't believe the report. They said, "What? No way!" Right up, now look, I would be having a conflict inside of me right about that time. I'm up all night long praying for this to happen, and I don't really believe it's going to happen. What am I doing here, right? Why am I doing this? But really, maybe that's why a lot of Christians don't pray. They really don't believe that it's going to do any good. And then when we do pray, do we really believe with faith that God's going to answer that prayer? Well, be like praying for rain and then leaving the house with an umbrella even though the sun is fully shining. This is a true story, by the way. It was during a morning worship service. And I'm just going to use the names in this story, not related to anyone in this church. Ellen noticed a nice-looking man sitting by himself on the back pew. Now, she was a single woman, so she had kind of an interest in meeting him. And she approached him with an extended hand and said, "Hi, I'm Ellen." He took one look at her and ran for the door. This seriously happened. The following Sunday, he came back to the church and made his apology. Here's what he told her. He said, "My name is Bob." I'll leave his last name out. "And I owe you an apology for my rude behavior last Sunday. You see, my deceased wife's name was Ellen. And I had been praying, 'Dear God, please send me another Ellen.' When you approached me and said, 'Hi, I'm Ellen,' I lost it." And Bob and Ellen have been married for a long time now. Bob and the new Ellen. Praying with faith, giving God our requests, believing he's going to answer them. Let's move on to another element. This is one that was mentioned earlier during our praise time, confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, this is not my neighbor's sin, but my sin that I need to be talking to God about. Number 7, forgiving of others, or forgiveness of others. Now, this is an interesting element that God has in a model prayer. It's definitely, I think, tied to the last one, confession of sin. When we confess, what does God do? 1 John 1:9, what does he do? Forgives, right. Okay, so we confess, he forgives. And now, forgiveness of others is tied to that. Do you remember when we looked at the Lord's Prayer? Oh, it was some time ago. We just spent several weeks on just that prayer. Matthew 6:15, it says, "But if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And in the Matthew 6 account, or the Matthew account of the Lord's Prayer, it's actually worded this way. "Our Father which art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So you're actually praying to God, "God, I want you to forgive me in the same way that I forgive other people." Whoa, some of us might be in trouble there. Now, this is part of praying, okay? And Matthew 6:15, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, God will not forgive your trespasses." So the person, now think about it this way. We can confess and ask God to forgive us of a sin. And he says he will. 1 John 1:9. But we believe the whole Bible, okay? And you take the whole Bible into account, and we would have to say this. He doesn't forgive. Forgiveness doesn't happen when we haven't forgiven others of their offenses. Now, as Christians, when we don't have God's forgiveness, what does that mean? Well, it means we lose blessings from him. We're not in a right relationship with him. And he doesn't hear our prayers when we regard iniquity in our hearts. We haven't forgiven others. God doesn't forgive us. That means we're still separated in our relationship from him. We lose blessings from being in a right relationship, and our prayers go unanswered. Number 8, guidance. I saw some of you putting your papers away. It's on the back. I thought, wow, why are they folding their papers up already? It's either a hint or they don't know something's on the back. Guidance. Okay. John 16:13, it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Praying to God to guide us. Because there's times we don't know what to do. A lot. We just pray for God to guide us. I heard this interesting illustration today. In fact, our teens are probably going to hear it up at snow camp. When we're trying to determine God's will for our life, what does God want me to do? Okay? What does God want me to do? And he compared it to a parked car. Have you ever tried to turn a parked car? Doesn't turn so easy, does it? Okay? But if you put the car in neutral and just let it start rolling some, it's a little easier to turn. Just get it rolling down the road, okay? And it's a lot easier to manipulate the direction that it's going. Now, here's how this applies not only to our teenagers, but to us. Many times, we're a parked car. We're just sitting there waiting for God to show me which direction to go or what he wants me to do. And God is saying, just go. You start rolling, and then I'll come alongside you and nudge the car in the direction I want it to go. You already know what you should be doing right now. Do that. And then God will be able to move us into a direction. Even if you got in the car and turned the wheel. If it's not moving, it's not going anywhere. You've got to be rolling. You've got to be going, doing what we know we should be doing right now. Now, let's look at number 9. Victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Just thanking God for victories. Sometimes we will pray about all of these things. Sometimes we'll maybe just pray about one or a few of the things. But these are the things that Jesus has commanded us to pray about. Now, let's consider our mood, okay? Our mood when we pray. It's just one thing, belief, faith. We've got to pray believing. James 1:6-7, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, he that asks not in faith, he's like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. He's all over the place. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord when we don't pray in faith. The proper mood for prayer is one of absolute faith. Dependence that God will do as he said he would do. It's kind of like the key that opens the door to God's throne room, the key to get God's attention. What is that? The verse in Hebrews that says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Proper praying is an act of faith. We have to pray believing that God will hear us and answer our prayer in His way and in His time. God honors faithful praying. So just keep knocking. He'll answer in His time. All right? Let's go to prayer right now.